Fallout Equestria, Heroes, by No One. Chapter 30, Cui Bono. Appear weak when you are strong, and strong when you are weak.
We need to go. My throat felt raw, and the words took more effort than they should have. Dragon Slayer.
Silver?
Flair said in a soft tone that was so unlike him.
I think he can wait. We need to...
It's a trick, I said. It wasn't a trick, but I really wanted to believe it was. It explained so much. How I got to Bridal Hope so long ago, why Pony so helpfully gave me cybernetics, the burning sensation I thought was caused by star metal. I'd been such an idiot, and now I could see the full extent of my stupidity. I could feel it, too. It was like a fire in my veins. And now that I knew it was there, I couldn't get rid of it. It surged through me, an immense magical power. Maybe it was just my imagination, but I felt it inside me, like it would burst forth and melt my body like the other subjects. Or maybe it would consume me slowly, turn me into a twisted monster so far detached from my equanimity that I wouldn't be able to see it anymore. Like Simple Heart.
Silver, come on, you're not stupid enough to think.
Flair kept talking.
If Mama says it's a trick, it's a trick, Serenity said sternly.
She was still holding her gun in her magic, and I could feel it in my shoulder, the burning. Flair opened his mouth, but I gave him one of my patented glares, and he slowly closed it.
We can talk about it later.
Yeah, later. It was a trick, maybe. At least he was trying to weaken my resolve. I couldn't let it work.
We do not care what is supposedly inside you. Platinum Hayes said, we know that you are you, and we trust you, so we shall not let this come between us.
She gave me an unsure smile, but when I smiled back, hers got wider and more confident.
You too, Hayes, I said.
I started walking towards the remains of the window, lowering myself so Serenity could jump on my back to make it easier for her to get through. When I made it to the other side of the wall, I was suddenly standing face to face with Walkirk.
I would like to examine you.
He was getting very close to examining one of Subtlety's bullets.
If what the video insinuates is true, you are something of a remarkable.
I pushed my metal hoof against his, mouth, whatever, to shut him up. Shut up, I said, and pushed past the robot, ignoring the dirty look the face gave me. I couldn't think about it, even if it seemed the rest of the world wanted me to. At least not until Dragonslayer was dead and his games were over.
You know, Hyde.
Flair followed after me swiftly.
Technically, what I said was I was going to go with you until you found Serenity.
Hi, Flair.
Serenity jumped off my back and onto his, hugging him around the neck.
I missed you too.
You too, kiddo. Now you smell, though.
Serenity giggled at Flair, though I wasn't sure why.
Anyway, Hyde, I know I said that, but I think I'll extend that a little bit longer.
You want to turn Dragon Slayer to ash, too, I said with a forced smirk. Well, the more the merrier. Platinum Hayes walked over to the two of us, looking concerned.
We know we said we would not interfere, but we must inquire if killing him is truly the most profitable option available to us. Certainly there are other ways of dealing with him without murder.
Nope,
Flair said. No, I replied after.
Nuh-uh.
Serenity added a shake of her head to give her statement more impact.
I doubt it,
Walkirk said last, not that anyone cared what he thought.
We simply mean that perhaps he has useful knowledge, and that hearing him out might be a wiser course of action. From what we have heard and seen of his actions, we deduce that he is most likely proud, and if he thinks we are about to die anyway, he might be more loose with his words.
I gave Hayes a long, hard look, but when I saw how sad her eyes looked, I had trouble continuing my previous line of thought. I started and chewed briefly on my lip. I'll talk, but chances are I'll...
We understand.
She leaned down to give me a kiss on the cheek, but stopped just short of my still bloodied form. So she pulled back, picked up a rag from her bag to wipe my face off, much to my protest, and then kissed it.
Now fuck,
Flair said loudly. I gave him a glare that let him know that I did not approve of that sort of thing, at least not around Serenity. It didn't stop him from laughing to himself. It was nice, just hearing him laugh. It took my mind off, well, everything. I sighed, ignoring the alien feeling inside me, and kept walking. I wasn't sure at first that if I was heading in the right direction, but then I saw monitors on the wall with brightly colored arrows pointing me in the right direction. It didn't take long for us to reach a large set of double doors that seemed to beckon us. "Knock, knock," I muttered to myself as I bucked the doors wide open. The room we entered was large, not just large, cavernous. I had thought before the building was some sort of stadium, but I wasn't so sure anymore. There were no seats, just sheer walls all around until it reached what looked like the curved ceiling above, but it was hard to see with such little light. It was as if the stadium had been built without the intention of anyone actually watching.
"That took you long enough,"
a voice said, stopping the five of us just outside the doorway. It was coming from something in the middle of the stadium that seemed to cover most of the floor. Just a huge mound of stuff. Computer parts, building materials, at least one entire house, gems, caps, broken guns, just anything you could imagine in a giant pile. Walking on top of the pile was none other than Dragon Slayer.
"High Gun, Flare, Serenity,
He looked at Platinum Haze.
"I don't know who you are, nor your robot. Does your robot have a name?"
"No,"
Walkirk said.
"Oh, good. Easier for me to remember."
Dragon Slayer started to walk down the mound, swaying his steps.
"What, aren't you going to shoot me?"
He grinned.
"Take another step."
Siddeley's scope flipped up over my eye.
"You wanted to talk? Talk. You brought me here for a reason." "To kill you. But I'll be getting to that part. It'll be about time, too. Celestia knows I've tried."
He stopped at the bottom of the mound of stuff.
"But first, I have a question. Have you figured it out yet?"
Before I could ask what it was I was supposed to figure out, he clarified.
"Figured out who I work for? Who made you so special?"
"The Enclave,"
I said at once. It was really the only answer that made any sense, given everything I knew. How else could they transport me to wherever they, yeah.
"The Steel Rangers,"
Flair said quickly. He looked over at me.
"What makes more sense than your answer?"
"It was the NCA, obviously,"
Walkirk said stiffly.
"We have not been in the city long enough, but if we had to guess, it is probably the Minotaurs,"
Platinum Haze offered.
"Don't matter, some jerks,"
Serenity finished. Dragon Slayer just smiled.
"Hired was closest. We work with parts of the Enclave remnants and organized the recent coup, but I don't work for them. Any other guesses?"
He made a sharp whistling sound when nobody answered, and the sprite bot thing that had been stalking us floated up to him, bobbing ever so slightly. Now that I got a good look at it, it seemed really well-worn.
"A long time ago, when our founder was but a colt in Iglow, he wandered outside the city. He was always a lonely child, timid and afraid of his peers, until he found this, half buried under rubble."
He tapped the robot.
"He brought it back to his home and repaired it, and when he did, he found a message recorded in it. The message was short, but powerful. It changed a lot of things."
He tapped a button, and a voice started to play.
"The portal to hell is paved with good intentions. The ponies of the past made mistakes. To get back to where we were, we need to do better. Be better. You can't stand by and watch. You need to act. To do something before it's too late. Who am I? I guess you can call me the Watcher."
My eyes went wide. That Dragon Slayer couldn't be implying what it sounded like he was implying. That was impossible.
"Clean cut made the Watchers in the years following. He grew and cultivated them."
No, the Watchers couldn't be doing this. That didn't make any sense.
"No!"
Serenity screamed, pointing her gun at Dragon Slayer.
"Take that back! They never do that to Mama or me! They're nice! Take it back!"
Dragon Slayer just smiled.
You may not understand his methods, but you can all understand his motives. He came to Daes with a bright heart, ready to give unto the wasteland, to grow it. And what did he find? Desolation of morality. The base of sins on every corner. The greatest surviving technologies in the wasteland kept in hiding by feuding gangs. And an endless war that left innocents dead. Without a central authority, Daes is a death trap, sucking you in with honey before closing its mouth and trapping you. Do any of you truly understand what the city has? It has a water treatment plant. A plant that purifies water of magical radiation. And even if radiation can seep back in, what that means is beyond compare. Think of how many children died of thirst or of radiation poisoning because there is no clean water. And Ice refused to share. The Mustang's too scared of losing their only edge. And the Megaspell power plant. To think what ponies could do with that technology. These two things could be copied and rebuilt. And could you imagine how the wasteland would look then? But their usefulness is squirreled away, helping Daes continue its torture of pony souls. Something had to be done, but how? You can't build an army large enough to take over the city. You can't take the technology for yourself. The city is too fractured to properly fight or control. So, you either walk away, or you do something drastic. Daes can't be fixed, and it can't be fought conventionally. So, it needs to be wiped out. Not what you're thinking. We aren't espousing genocide or anything like that. We're talking a revolution. Daes is the powder keg, and eventually it was going to collapse in on itself. So, we chose to speed up the project. Incite war, chaos, anarchy. Let each faction blame their neighbor until war threatens the civilians so much that they must run away to survive. Daes, the city, will die. Like it was destined to since its inception. But from it we can build something great. From the destruction of the idea of Daes, we can build a true paradise. We have been storing supplies. We have a small army of volunteers loyal to our cause. And when the city turns to dust, we will ride in and save it. The Watchers will be the heroes who saved Daes. And then the wasteland, when we get access to the technology the gangs have been hiding. We will spread the technology from here to Canterlot, to Rome, and everywhere in between. With it, we can rebuild what was lost. We as a society can do better. Can you truly tell me this is not an honorable cause? You of all ponies have seen Daes at its worst. It's an impenetrable and unforgiving hellhole that sucks life from all who enter. It's not worth saving, and yes, there will be losses. Ponies caught up in the chaos. But we're doing what we can to lower the collateral damage. The mega spells we put in ponies are low yield with limited explosive potential and spread low, manageable levels of radiation. But even if 1,000 ponies get caught up, more would be lost if we didn't go through with it. Do you understand what we're trying to accomplish?
I wasn't sure I did. He was trying his damnedest to paint everything they'd done in a good light, to explain why what they were doing was good. And part of me wanted to buy into it, that the Watchers were pushed into a fight by forces against their will and are trying to save the wasteland through it. But to do that by sowing chaos, sticking mega spells into ponies and kidnapping fillies, was the only way to save the wasteland to become a monster? There had to be another way.
Mama, don't listen to him.
Serenity looked up to me with pleading eyes.
He's lying. He's not with the Watchers. It's a trick. It can't be. They're good ponies.
We are unsure, Silver. He speaks of wanting to help, but his actions are horrendous. In this way, he reminds us of Mother, but we cannot condone his actions regardless of any noble intent.
Platinum Hayes looked down at me.
If he wasn't such a dickbag, I might be inclined to give him the time of day, but fuck him. Scrap him and talk to Clean Cut. See what the real score is.
Flair suggested.
He's threatening Daes. He's clearly mad.
Walkirk added, helpfully.
I looked between my companions, unsure what to say. If he was right, and what they did really would save more than they lost, wouldn't it be a good thing? If the end result was peace, I didn't know.
Why are you telling us this?
I said slowly, uncertainty still twisting in my stomach.
The usual reasons. This is the part where I reach out my hoof to you.
He mimicked the motion.
And Blade, we can save the world together. Join us.
He smirked.
Then you say, no, I'll never join you. At which point I pull out this.
His horn lit up and a remote floated out of his backpack.
And tell you that if you don't, I'll blow you up.
What?
My eyes went wide again.
You can't.
I could feel the fire rising up in my chest again, waiting to burst. That remote, it was the same one he used the day he blew up the Laughing Stallion, and I didn't blow up then. He couldn't detonate me. Man, what a weird sentence that was.
You can. You tried before.
Dragon Slayer smirked and threw the remote to the ground.
Well, you called my bluff. I guess I'll have to stick with the standard question. Join me and save the world, or deny me and die.
I started, then stopped, looking at my friends and studying their features, remembering how much I trusted them.
You kidnap Serenity, kill the Batmare, and kill Pimprick, make a spit-shine an orphan. Everything else, whatever morality you're saying. Maybe you're right. Maybe it'd be worth it. Maybe it'd be justified. Maybe you'd save the wasteland. But after what you've done, I can't join you.
I started to aim subtly.
Sorry. Goodbye.
I see,
he said calmly.
I figured it would be a waste, but 5 minutes of my time was worth the effort to try. You can kill them.
The ground shook, throwing off my aim.
What the?
I started looking back towards Dragon Slayer. Past Dragon Slayer. Behind him, and rising fast, was a mountain of flesh and purple scales. From behind the giant mound of miscellaneous crap, a dragon rose. It opened its mouth. I barely had the chance to see the flames before I felt the heat of them on me. Only, they stopped. The flames crashed into a transparent purple veil, swirling around it and us like a vortex from hell.
Haze!
I said, turning to the alicorn as soon as I recognized where it came from. The alicorn's horn was glowing in bright layers, and sweat was trickling down her face as she strained.
We advise you to get ready.
She grunted, bracing herself as if she was being physically pushed. The fire died down as fast as it came, leaving a semicircle of flame still in front of us.
No!
She cried, dropping her shield and turning. I grabbed Serenity with a leg and threw her onto my back, then ran back the way we came before the dragon got another chance. We had barely managed to run down the hallway and duck into a side hall before a jet of orange death covered the corridor, leaving it a black and smoking ruin.
Fuck! I shouted. Fuck, fuck, fuck!
I looked around frantically.
We need to! Fuck!
I kept running, even though I didn't need to. The dragon couldn't fit in the hallway. It was too big. But if it wanted, it could destroy the entire building. But even if we got out, where would we go? There was no getting out of this one. If only I had my Balefire Egg launcher.
Flare! I turned to him. I need you, once we get outside, take Serenity to the boat. Get as far away as possible.
But Mama!
Serenity looked scared. Or was it determined? It was hard to tell sometimes.
You said you wouldn't leave me again.
Somewhere deep in the building, there was a great mechanical groan so powerful it seemed to shake the floor.
Serenity, I know I said that, but...
She bit her lip.
Keeping you safe is more important.
She started to pout, so I kneeled down and gently caressed her cheek.
Sweetie, I know you want to keep me safe, but you have to do this. I can't bear to lose you, not so soon after getting you back. I promise this will be the last time, but this is too much.
She sniffed, but eventually nodded.
Oh, okay, but this better be the last time.
Thanks, I said and kissed her forehead and looked up at Flare. Take her to the ship. Wait for me. I know you've been meaning to go back to the Pegasi and everything, but...
No sweat, Hyde. Those traitorous dogs don't need me killing them right away. I'm sure they'll still be alive if it takes a day or so longer.
I was pretty sure Flare was smirking under his armor.
Just, you know, try not to die. I know your body is supposed to be fireproof, but it's not that fireproof.
Yeah, I nodded grimly. Once we get outside, I'll distract the dragon, then you fly away. It's me Dragon Slayer wants dead, so he shouldn't follow you.
What shall we do?
Platinum Haze was dutifully scanning the hallways as we took time to talk.
We do not like to fight.
I know, I said and got back to my hooves and walked over to her. I had meant to kiss her on the cheek, but she was too tall and didn't seem to get my meaning. You have other spells? Stop Dragon Slayer from getting close. Use your shield if you can. You don't need to fight to be helpful. I looked over at Walkirk, his screen displaying a knowing smile.
Yes. Oh, do you have commands?
Don't you have any, like, weapons? I asked.
Of course. This platform has a rocket launcher with 5 missiles and a large magical energy cannon.
The computer robot thing said. Right, just shoot. Try to hit Dragon Slayer if he shows his face. He'll be easier to hurt.
Don't you trust my abilities?
I trusted him about as far as I could throw him, and I wasn't even sure what that meant. I didn't bother replying to him because I felt it was just a stupid question anyway. I just walked past him and down the hallway. The first thing we had to do was get out of the building, and after that, I wasn't even sure. We eventually found the way we came in, a giant hole in the exterior wall that looked like it had been burned and blackened. A roaring sound from outside reminded me what it was that made the opening. How did he even get out? I wondered aloud, though it was probably a stupid question.
The stadium was built with a retractable roof,
Walkirk explained, finally doing something helpful. I turned back to him and raised an eyebrow.
It's a training facility for Pegasi. It was designed so Pegasi could practice maneuvers without being spied on from above.
Another design based on the assumption of war against Equestria, no doubt.
But some required more room or more height.
I still wasn't sure that reasoning made sense, but he had been around back then, so I would have to take his word for it. Right, I said and peeked my head outside the hole and looked around to make sure Dragon Slayer wasn't waiting for us. Okay, Flare, Serenity, I looked over to them. Hayes, Walkirk, and I are going to make a run for it and try and grab their attention. Wait until we're followed, then you two make a break for it.
All right, just try not to die. If you die, I swear I'll kill you,
Flare said.
But Mama, I looked down at Serenity. How are you going to, like, kill it after we leave?
The ground shook when the dragon roared again.
Leave that to me, I said to disguise the fact I didn't really have a clue.
I mean, I've survived getting shot in the face twice. Those land sharks, the facility, and the giant scorpion. I'm good. I gave my most convincing smile, but from the look in Serenity's eyes, I knew it wasn't enough.
All right,
she climbed onto Flare's back.
Just,
she chewed on her lip and lowered her gaze.
Promise me y'all come back.
I promise, I said sternly before leaning down and kissing her forehead. Nothing will keep me from you. That seemed to be acceptable, given her smile, so I turned, looking between Walkirk and Platinum Haze. Okay, we make a run for the building with the bridge we came through. That should be enough to draw their attention.
We can manage that, Platinum Haze nodded. We will prepare our shield spell, but we regret to inform you we cannot use it while moving.
Affirmative,
Walkirk said, his back panel opening up and revealing a selection of rather large weapons.
Just getting ready.
All right. Go! I was going to count to 3 and then run, but I didn't want to take any longer than I had to. Mere meters out of the building, I heard a great thudding of flapping wings and another roar. As fast as we were going, it didn't take long for us to be completely covered by a giant black shadow. I gritted my teeth and pushed myself harder, wishing I had a dash or something to help me along. It didn't help that both Platinum Haze and Walkirk were faster than me, and I was losing ground every second. The dragon roared once more, so close now I could feel it blow my mane. The thudding of the wings got closer, and I remembered how stupid I was, and why I should never be allowed to make plans. The dragon would have caught me too, but Platinum Haze tripped mid-stride. She hit the ground hard on her chin, and I zoomed past her without even registering what happened until a second later. I looked back and saw the dragon descending on her, claws outstretched as if to grab her. Fuck! I pivoted and turned towards her. I ran. I wasn't sure what I was planning to do when I got to her. With the dragon swooping down that fast, there was nothing I could really do, but I couldn't just leave her there. So I ran at her, and when I got over her, I jumped. The dragon reached out as I passed over her, Its claws wrapped around me tight, and I could feel it begin to squeeze.
Run!
I choked out to Hayes. She looked conflicted for a second, but as I began to rise with the dragon, she must have agreed. She got to her hooves and scrambled off. The claws tightened around me. I gasped for breath, and I swear I heard my ribs cracking when the dragon squeezed, making me feel like my chest was on fire. There was a whistling sound and an explosion so close that it almost made me go deaf. Then the squeezing stopped, and I gasped for breath as I fell. I hit the ground hard, and pain surged through my body as I rolled across the dirt. I flopped to a halt beside Walkirk, and when I looked up at him, I saw his rocket launcher smoking.
"You can't die yet,"
he said as I groaned and got to my hooves.
"Let's go."
He swiveled and turned to the entrance to the building we were heading towards. It was thankfully close. I got to my hooves and galloped the rest of the way. As I burst through the doors, I turned back to look to make sure Flair had left, and sure enough, far in the distance and getting further, was a winged black speck.
"Good," I said, slamming the doors behind me.
"We must apologize,"
Hayes said upon seeing me, running up to hug me with her wings.
"We did not intend to fall in that manner. We are not very good at running, and we are sorry. We should not have left you."
"It's fine," I groaned, rubbing my ribs with my hoof. "It was an accident. Just be more careful."
Platinum Hayes nodded vigorously, blood dripping off her chin as she did. Most of the lower part of her muzzle and neck were covered in blood.
"Fuck, are you okay? You fell hard."
Platinum Hayes brought a hoof up and gently prodded the scraped and peeled flesh, flinching a bit when she did, and again when she saw blood covering her hoof.
"We are fine," she grimaced. "It was not a graceful fall, but we do not imagine the injury is serious enough to cause us to pause, though our wing is still injured as well, so if we do happen upon a healing potion."
"So, what's the plan now?"
Walkirk interrupted.
"My body is completely disposable, but the same cannot be said for the two of you. So unless you're hiding a teleport spell..."
I wasn't that concerned with what happened to me. From what I'd seen, I was going to die soon anyways. It was only a matter of time before the mega spell melted me from the inside out, and if that didn't do the trick, the star metal would. With a groan, I rubbed my forehead and tried to focus, but with everything that had happened, it was hard.
"This is a military base, are we correct?"
Platinum Hayes asked.
"Because if it is, would we not be able to deduce that there is probably some weaponry nearby?"
Walkirk answered that one for me.
"Before the war, this facility was primarily responsible for the training of new recruits, as well as other training programs, not for operational storage or field tests. However, the NCA used it frequently for the transportation of material, so it is possible."
That was something. Not quite hope, but the closest approximation to it. Where? Walkirk turned to me, the face on the screen looking disapproving. "I mean, where do you think?" He really wouldn't know exactly where the NCA kept their weapons, but he might have an idea. More than me, at least.
"There was a rather large building that was used to house air transports and the like,"
Walkirk said, a picture of said building showing up on a screen.
"But it's close to where the previous mega spell went off, so even if anything is there, there's no guarantee of any of it working."
"We can't run,"
I grunted and pointed in the direction of the bridge.
"So we have to fight. Our weapons aren't good enough, so we have to have..."
I wanted to say hope, but the plan was lacking in anything of the sort. Maybe if I grabbed that Balefire Egg launcher I'd stashed in the BS, but that seemed lost to me since I had burned bridges with Mr. House.
"What if there are no weapons there?"
Platinum Hayes asked, following behind me quickly.
"Or we reach there only to find it all destroyed. After fighting our way there, we cannot imagine we would have the strength to look elsewhere."
"Then..." I looked back at Platinum Hayes only for a second before turning my gaze forward and shutting my mouth. I had no encouraging words to give. Serenity was safe, and I was certain we were just biding time until our death. If we were going to die, though, it had to be a good death. We'd go down fighting, but we would go down.
"Then what? We do not believe you have finished your entire thought."
She was never good at taking a hint, was she?
"Nothing," I said and kept walking, letting her suss out my meaning on her own.
As oblivious as she could be, I figured she was smart enough to realize the implication of fighting a dragon without anything that could kill a dragon. She didn't say anything further as she followed me through the dusty building, so I can only assume she eventually understood. It didn't take long for us to reach the bridge that led to the other part of the building, and it remained eerily quiet the whole time. Which was good, because the only way to make my impending death feel worse would be listening to Walker as I waited, but at the same time it was unnerving. There was a dragon nearby, and I couldn't hear it. That's not really the sort of creature you want sneaking up on you. As we reached the bridge, I saw something out of the corner of my eye. A bathroom, by the looks of the door, anyway. I didn't remember seeing it before, but I wasn't about to argue good fortune. Platinum Haze's wing was still injured, and if we were to find a healing potion, that would be the most likely place. "You two keep going," I said as I veered off course. "I'll only be a second." I assumed they listened. By the time I entered the darkened bathroom, they weren't following me. There's not really much I can say about a bathroom. It was dark, but my cybernetic eye made it so that wasn't a problem. There were half-collapsed stalls and glass all over the floors and around the surprisingly still intact sinks. And there was writing on the wall, in blood of course, that said something depressing, so I didn't waste my time on it. I didn't need any help on that front. There was also a lovely little pale yellow box with three butterflies on it. I'll never know whose idea it was to put these medical boxes in every bathroom, but I loved whoever they were. I also hated them, because for some reason, they also saw fit to lock said medical boxes. What was even the point of that? Not that it stopped me at all. A tiny lock was no match to a sharp kick. There was a resounding smash, and the box's contents were open to me. The final tally of useful medicine, not including the pointless rolls of bandages, were two healing potions. There had been three, but my kick broke one. A rat away, and two syringes of Med-X. I looked to the bathroom door quickly to make sure no one was coming in before taking one of the syringes and jamming it into the nearest vein on my leg. It had been a while since my last one, and I needed the relief. Nothing like facing one's death high. Which was a term I never really understood. When I grew up, I got all these lectures about how drugs would tweak me out of my mind, make me unable to control my body and everything else, but with Med-X, it was never like that. Alcohol was more likely to make me lose control. Med-X just made everything easier to deal with, I think. Whatever. I was tired of people giving me lectures. Who knew better what I needed to survive than me? When I was done with that, I tossed the empty syringe onto the ground, gathered up the rest of the supplies, and headed back out the door. I couldn't have been gone for more than a few minutes, but sure enough, Platinum Haze and Walkirk were already most of the way across the bridge. I trotted off to join them. But I stopped. For a second, I heard something, like a giant flapping of wings. I jumped back just in time. The ground shook beneath me, and there was a great crash followed quickly by a plume of dust. It all happened so fast I could barely see, but when I opened my eyes, the bridge was gone, demolished, and there was a body of a dragon in its place. The creature looked at me for a split second before roaring and flying off, leaving destruction in its wake. Across the gap, I could see Walkirk and Hayes were shaken, but thankfully unharmed. I opened my mouth to yell out to them, but before I got a word out, I saw Hayes' horn start to glow. There were three loud cracks of gunfire directly behind me. Had I not recently had some Med-X, I would have jumped, but instead I turned quickly. When I did, I finally noticed I was surrounded by a purple bubble shield, to see a grinning dragon slayer behind me. "Damn, you caught on," he said as the shield around me faded. I looked back quickly to Hayes and Walkirk and shouted, "Keep going!" They seemed confused, yet turned to run off. I looked back to my enemy. "Just you, no dragon?" "There's so many of you, we need to split up the work. At least until we find out where your little friends went scurrying off to." He didn't seem to realize they were escaping the fight, and I wasn't about to correct him. "Besides, I want you all to myself." He charged, pulling a dagger out of seemingly nowhere with that magic of his. I tried to track him with subtlety, but the shot I fired missed. He was too close and too fast. Before I had a chance to fire a second shot, he was beside me, his blade raking through my armor and across my ribs. With a shocked gasp, I turned, lashing out sideways with my metal hoof, but I hit nothing but air. Too fast. He was too damn fast. I backed up quickly as I finished my turn, firing off a few quick shots with subtlety. I didn't expect to hit him. I just needed to scare him off before he could get close. It seemed to work, because by the time I backed up a few steps, we had switched places, me facing him, and him with his back to where the bridge once was.
"You could just die, fall my blade. I promise I won't think any less of you."
"Fuck off," I said and brought up subtlety. It was a good gun, but nearly useless at such short ranges. "This way you won't blow up when you die. No collateral damage, just you."
"I won't anyway. Your trigger doesn't work."
"You were sorry that's the only way to set you off." There was something decidedly wrong about his smile.
"You've got it all wrong, my dear. The chip that House of Surgeons miraculously broke is just an intermediary between the magic trigger and the bomb. The bomb inside you is still active, and there's more than one way to set it off."
Out of his bag, he pulled out a small syringe with something glowing and white inside it.
"Now stay still."
That wasn't happening. His little vial of something awful came flying towards me in a burst of magic, and I ducked right. The vial of whatever it was missing me by a mile. Something else scraped against my neck, though. Fuck, I hadn't seen him throw his knife. It was shallow, but stale. I straightened myself as quick as I could and bit down on my bit, ready to end him once and for all. No bullets came out of subtlety. I bit harder, but it didn't do anything except hurt my teeth. In shock, I looked down, trying to figure out what the problem was. Then I saw it. The knife Dragon Slayer threw wasn't aimed at me. It was aimed at the cord that connected the firing bit to my battle saddle. Fuck! There was another gunshot, and I stumbled back when a round slammed into my shoulder. Pain flared, but the Med-X from before was enough to dull it slightly.
"This has been fun."
Dragon Slayer looked so Celestia damn smug.
"But it's time to end this. I'm sorry I had to come to this, but we can't have you mucking everything up."
I refused to let him win. Not like this. I didn't have my gun, but I was killing ponies long before I got it. So I did the only thing I could do. I charged. There was a brief look of shock on his face, and the sound of a gunshot barely missing me. Then I hit him. We slammed together with such force our hooves left the ground. We soared out, over the gap where the bridge once was. We fell and fell and fell until we came to a sudden stop in the rubble below.
"Get up. You have to get up."
Through tear-blurred eyes, I saw Wildfire kneeling above me, tears streaming down her face.
"I can't lose you, too."
I reached a hoof out to her to touch her, embrace her, promise her I was okay and everything would be all right. But my hoof passed through her, and her body turned to red mist blown away with the dust.
"Wildfire."
My voice was sore, as was the rest of me. High above, I could see the ruined building and the ragged hole I fell from. It was so high up, I would ask myself how I survived a fall like that, but I've had worse. Though, last time I was in a hospital for a month, even with the help of healing potions. I rolled to my hooves, or rather I attempted to, as my legs collapsed from under me when I tried.
"Oh, fuck!"
I groaned, digging into my bags. The two healing potions I had intended to give Platinum Haze were there, and they were delicious. I'm sure Haze wouldn't mind me taking them, considering the circumstances. They did their job well enough to help me stand and walk, but they weren't enough.
"Oh, fuck,"
I said again as I tried to walk without constantly wincing. I still had some extra medics in my bag, and it was damn tempting to take another to help me along, but I didn't want to overdo it. Not when I still had a bastard to kill. The rubble I was standing in barely looked like a bridge anymore. It was just a mess of stone, metal, and glass. And amongst it, somewhere, was Dragon Slayer. I heard a cough. So I followed it to find Dragon Slayer halfway down the rubble pile from me, with a piece of rebar sticking through his back and out his stomach. As I stood over his crumpled form, I realized I had forgotten how small he was. Skinnier than Flair, shorter than Pearly, and with his birding torn open, I could count every rib on his chest at a glance. His skinny legs, pawing uselessly at the rebar through him, were lacking any definition, anything that looked like strength. I was nearly twice the size of him, I realized. He'd always been so much bigger in my imagination, a smug figure thwarting me at every turn, an opponent to fight and defeat, but he never was. He didn't get the better of me by being stronger or faster. He beat me by moving diagonal when I charged straight on. Like this, without his tricks and schemes and plans, he was nothing. I felt a little pity for him in that moment, but just for a moment. Then I remembered all he had done. My metal hoof pressed into his forehead, eliciting a gasp.
"You're gonna die. If you want to beg forgiveness, do it now."
Do you... do you know what we did to her?
I pressed harder.
Ho. Your daughter.
There was a faint smirk on his mouth, somewhat undone by the way blood had matted his mane over half his face.
"What did you do to her?"
I ground my teeth. He had her for so long, and if they could plant a mega spell in me in less than a week, I could only imagine what horrors they could do to her.
"Tell me."
Never mind.
His smirk grew as the sun above us was suddenly and immediately shadowed.
"You'd never believe me."
A second too late, I realized it had been just another one of his tricks. By then, the dragon was on top of me, wrapping its claw around me and dragging me into the sky.
"Eat her!" Ah!
I heard Dragon Slayer yell from the ground before screaming in pain from the effort. The dragon pulled me high into the air. The roof of the giant stadium passed by. It had been opened at some point, and soon the entire chasm was far below. We were so high up I could see the many canyons laid out before me. It looked like some pony had dragged a giant dagger across the surface of the earth, but as we grew higher I realized just how small the canyon was in the grand scheme of things. There was just so much ground below me. To the east I could see as far as the river we'd come down on, but it was so small the details were lost to me. To the north I swear I could see the vaguest hint of Dais's skyscrapers on the horizon, but it might have been wishful thinking. Suddenly, the dragon let me go, and I was flung into the sky. My hooves flailed as I soared against my will. Looking down, I could see the dragon's open maw ready to swallow me whole. A pink and black pit. What a way to die.
Survive.
Except I wasn't dead, and there was time. And I didn't want to die. There was still work left undone, ponies to protect, but it was more than that. I wanted to live. Because I just wasn't ready to die. Since Foundation, I kept living for other ponies, but this time, I wanted to live for me. I started to fall, and so did my options. The mouth came rushing up towards me, and I tried to remember all the times I'd seen Flare fly. I lacked wings, but something still had to be applicable, right? I angled my body so I was pointing away from the creature's mouth. Still, it wasn't working. Falling too fast. I didn't have wings, but I needed something to move me. Then, the idea hit me, almost too late. I kicked my good hind leg into my cybernetic one. My leg hurt like a bitch, but when the shotgun went off, it was just enough. I landed with a meaty thwack into the corner of the dragon's mouth before bouncing off. I was free, sort of. I mean, I wasn't food, so that was good, but I was still hurtling uncontrollably down a dragon's neck. At least until I slammed into the dragon's shoulder. Fell off into the dragon's leathery wing and started rolling down that instead. Out of options and closely reaching the end of the wing that would send me off into even more certain death, I let the sword in my leg spring forth and stab downwards. The blade slowed me with a sudden jerk as it tore a hole through the beast. Eventually it managed to slow me enough to stop, but I swear I could hear the metal of my leg strain in the effort.
"Get off of me!"
The dragon's voice rumbled through the air like thunder as it suddenly dove straight down. Wind whipped against my body as we surged downwards, and my hind legs flailed in the air. Still, my sword kept steady, but I could hear the joints start to creak and stretch. I'd have to find some way to get down relatively safely and soon, or my leg was going to break off and I'd find a less safe way to get down. I didn't even realize how far we had dropped until the creature turned to the side and I could see down. We were closer to the ground, but a fall at that height still wouldn't end well for me. Not that anything I did ended well for me. The only hope I had was to try and dislodge my blade and try to land on a building high enough that it would only break one of my two remaining legs. Then I could limp to safety. I realized then, as I was hurtling through the air on the back of a dragon, that I was probably going to die despite my dramatic resolution to live, and I didn't really care. That's not to say I wasn't afraid, how could I not be, but that I just knew I was probably going to die. Still, I refused to be resigned to that fact. I chose to fight it, because stupidity was always an option. Then the stupid choice appeared to me. The 6-story building near the stairs out of the canyon that I had searched earlier was closing in on us, and it looked high enough to fall on. I didn't have time to aim properly, so as soon as it looked reasonably close, I yanked at my sword, tearing it from the dragon's leathery wing. I started to slide down the wing, then roll. Then I felt suddenly weightless as I rolled off the side of the beast. The feeling lasted as long as it took me to crash, back first, into the top of the building. I could barely hear the dragon's roar over my pained scream. Those screams turned to gasps as the sharpness of the pain turned to a dull throbbing all over my body. I was alive, somehow. I wanted to laugh or cry, or maybe both. It seemed funny to me that I had lived after all that. Perhaps it was a bit of a premature reaction, because as I rose to my shaky hooves, I felt the ground shift beneath me. The dragon had landed. I had just turned to where I had heard it land when I saw it rise above the building, its claws digging into the roof to stabilize itself. The beast looked down at me, and even from the 6th-floor building, it was still towering over me. Its eyes burned a fiery red as it opened its mouth. Rows upon rows of sharp teeth lay within, and for a second, I saw a spark of flame inside. Then, the grisly vision was gone in a sudden explosion. Another impacted the dragon's forehead, and it recoiled, roaring in pain. The 3rd and 4th made the beast reconsider its attempt to set me on fire, and it chose instead to beat a hasty retreat.
"You know, Hyde,"
Flair's voice boomed as I saw his black armored form laying beside me.
"You sure do get yourself in trouble a lot."
"Yeah," I said and took a seat on the roof. Either that or my legs gave out, but I like the first interpretation better.
"You don't say."
Serenity jumped off Flair's back, looking very pleased with herself.
"What are you two doing here?"
"Saving your life."
I could hear Flair smirking, even though I couldn't see his face.
"You look like shit, by the way."
I couldn't argue with that. During one of my dramatic falls, I must have cracked open my skull because the blood running down half plastered my mane to my face.
"Thanks,"
I said and looked over at Serenity, trying my best not to look annoyed. They shouldn't have come back. It defeated the whole point of getting them away.
"Doesn't answer my question, though."
"Well?"
Serenity scrunched up her face and thought.
"Well, because you can't protect me. Well, you can, but only if you're with me. I ain't stupid. I can see. The world's a big messed up place, and if you step down the wrong alley, or even the right alley at the wrong time, you ain't gonna live long. You can't hide me away and expect me to live. Sure, I could go hide on the boat, but last time we were on a boat it was attacked by pirates, and you went and drove them off. If you weren't there, who knows what would have happened. So the way I figure it, if you want to protect me, like you really want to, the best way to do that is to be nearby, and that way I can protect you too."
"But it's dangerous here. There's a dragon and..." Serenity cut me off.
"The whole world's dangerous. True, some are less than others, but if I had a bet on what was the safest place in the whole wide wasteland, I'd have to say by your side."
"Serenity." I had to try and talk some sense into her. There was a dragon flying about. It wasn't time for games.
"No, don't, Mama."
She took a deep breath and puffed out her chest.
"I'm staying, so I can protect you, and you can protect me."
I gave her a stern gaze, to show her I didn't approve, but she met my gaze and didn't back down. Eventually, I gave a reluctant sigh and said,
"Okay."
"Now, aren't we a big old happy family?"
Flair said, putting a leg around my neck.
"So charming, so heartfelt, the emotions. If I weren't so jaded, I would cry."
"Get off me," I said harshly, and Flair did, but only with a chuckle.
"Flair, go find Platinum Hayes and that robot. They were heading this way, from the building with a bridge. We'll find a way down, meet you outside, unless a dragon comes back."
"A fine plan, really it is."
Flair flapped his wings and took to the air. I don't know how he did it, but I could always tell he was grinning even when he was in full armor.
"Try not to get eaten while I'm away."
And with that, he zipped off across the canyon.
"We could probably get down through here,"
I heard Serenity yell. Somehow, in my brief conversation with Flair, she had managed to run across the roof and was staring down a hole made by the dragon's claws. As I walked over to the massive gouges, I was, greatly discouraged by the fact that the holes were easily big enough for me to fit through. Right, I said and leaned down and peered into the building. There didn't look to be anything dangerous below. Here goes nothing. With a hop, I landed into the dark floor below. It smelled like smoke and sweat. The fight I had with the ghouls had gutted a lot of the interior of the building with fire, but the fire had tapered off, leaving only the faint scent of smoke and blackened walls wherever the fire had spread to. Every so often, echoing through the halls, I could hear a ghoul's cry, but none came near us. Maybe somewhere deep in the recesses of their broken minds, they remembered me. So, it was safe-ish, and the building was large enough that it was going to take a while to get out. Serenity, I said slowly. I need to tell you something. For once, she was walking beside me, not riding on my back, so she stopped and looked up at me.
What is it, Mama?
I couldn't help but smile when she called me that. Walk and talk, I said, continuing on my way, not talking until I heard her catch up with me. It was easier this way because I wouldn't have to look at her. A while ago, I said I would eventually tell you about my other daughter. I think it's time.
Mama, she said, suddenly very serious. You don't have to. I know it. I mean, it ain't easy.
I need to, I said. It wasn't closure, not really. But Serenity needed to know, and I needed to talk about it eventually. It was a while ago, back when I lived at a place called Marefort. Me and, a friend found a town that had been attacked by raiders. There was only one pony left alive, a little filly named Foundation. I think you would have liked her.
So you took her in?
Serenity asked, obviously knowing the answer. Yeah, we took her in.
Why?
Why? I said in surprise. That question stunned me for a second. Because some pony had to. The answer seemed to satisfy Serenity, so I kept talking as we moved through the smoky building. We lived for a while. It was a good time, the three of us. I even learned how to read so I could read her bedtime stories. The thought brought a smile to my face. But one day the town was attacked, and I did something stupid, and my voice caught in my throat, and I couldn't continue.
Mama,
Serenity said softly. And I never forgave myself. I took a deep breath to calm my nerves. It was hard to talk about, hard to keep talking. Every part of me just wanted to run away, to hide from what had happened. When I saw you for the first time, you looked like her when I first saw her. But you weren't her. You're different. So different. And that's great. And I knew I couldn't let anything bad happen to you. At the same time, I knew if you stayed near me, it would. Ponies I care about die. So I tried to push you away and protect you at the same time. But it wasn't about you. It was about me and the Foundation. I needed forgiveness. I needed to forgive myself to do something right. I thought maybe if I treated you right, if I protected you, I could look myself in the mirror. I looked over at Serenity, walking silently in thought beside me. It wasn't fair. I love you, and you're so smart and resourceful and special. I tried to put you on a pedestal, protect you for my sake, and I shouldn't have. You are not Foundation. You aren't just a way to make up for old mistakes. I never should have placed a burden on you. Just know that I have always cared for you. I just needed to remind myself why caring was important, and I'm sorry. I don't like talking. I never had. Maybe when I was a real little filly, but even then the words were meaningless. Emotions came hard for me. Talking about them was worse, but it needed to be done. Serenity had seen so much, been through so much, that I needed to tell her. The words had come pouring out. I couldn't have stopped them if I tried.
Mama, I She sighed as we started down some stairs.
I understand. I wanted you to be my mama to protect me because I don't know, but I understand. I don't blame you for how you felt.
She paused for a minute before continuing.
Thanks for telling me, though. I know it ain't easy for you, but I don't know. Thanks.
Perhaps telling her right then wasn't the best of ideas, as the silence in the air became palpable. It made the rest of the walk through the dark, smoky building awkward, but I had no doubt she was using that time to think about what I had said. I just wasn't certain that it was a good idea.
You won't believe who I found,
Flair said immediately as I opened the door to finally leave the smoke-ridden building. Apparently, Flair had been waiting just outside the door to surprise me.
Your favorite pony in the whole wide world.
He waved a wing to Platinum Hayes and Walkirk, who were standing a bit back, looking confused at Flair's antics.
And Platinum Hayes.
Ha ha. You're an idiot, I said, pushing past Flair so Serenity and I could finally leave the building. Flair didn't seem to mind, if his incessant giggling was any indicator.
How are you faring, Silver?
Hayes asked me as I closed the gap between us.
We were most worried when we saw that beast descend upon you. And we are fearful to even ask how you managed to outpace us here.
I flew, was the only answer I could come up with. Luckily, Serenity was there to fill in the gaps.
She rode on a dragon's back. I think it tried to eat her, or set her on fire, maybe both. Luckily, Flair and I scared it off. We're brave like that.
Serenity took this as an opportunity to pose dramatically with her gun and her magic.
We are sure you are a most fearsome foe,
Platinum Hayes replied, leaning down to ruffle Serenity's mane with a wing.
But still, we are glad you are relatively unharmed.
I didn't feel unharmed. I felt like I'd just been too close to a megaspell, which was almost the truth.
We should hurry on our way, though. The dragon will not remain occupied for long.
For your sakes, I hope the weapons cache is still operational,
Walkirk said, with a smile on his face his screen presented. I suppose it was hard not to be smug when you weren't in any real danger, but everyone else was.
Yeah, I said. I was still uncertain about that plan. Still, it was the only plan we had, so I turned to it. Let's pray it's the...
The deafening roar that echoed across the canyon cut me off. Shit.
Flair, Walkirk, hit it with your heavy weapons. Platinum Hayes, Serenity, to me.
The dragon swooped overhead, flames spitting out and setting the ground alight, but thankfully missing.
Serenity.
I kneeled down and looked at the little filly.
My battle cell's broken. How fast can you fix it?
She stared at my battle saddle, thinking so hard I almost swore I could see smoke coming out of her ears.
I don't know.
Just try, I said quickly, tearing off the broken device.
Please.
She gave a quick nod and took out her tools. I looked around to get a grasp on what was happening. Flair was starting to take flight, and I could see the rockopods inside Walkirk's ponytron start to unfold. Maybe we didn't need whatever weapons were hidden. The dragon swooped down for another pass, but this time it landed. And when it did, I felt the ground shake under me. Walkirk was off to its side and fired a rocket in the dragon's direction, only for it to careen off the side and into the air, just missing. Before he had a chance to fire off another one, the dragon's tail whipped around lazily, slamming into the robot with a crash and sending it sliding through the dirt. I turned away from the twisted metal that once housed Walkirk and saw the dragon staring down at me, mouth open.
Hayes!
Once again, Hayes' purple shield enveloped us just in time for the flames to slam into it in a wall of light and smoke. Eventually, the orange flames died down, leaving Platinum Hayes panting in exhaustion as the shield faded around us. I was about to say something to Hayes when I saw him standing across from me, a smirk on his face. His clothes were bloody, but he seemed no worse for wear, though he might have been faking it. Apparently, Dragon Slayer had some healing potions on him, which I should have expected. He always seemed to be prepared.
Hired gun. You should have killed me when you had the chance.
Two knives were pulled out of hidden pockets with magic.
I'm sorry I had to come to this.
Before he had a chance to live up on his threat, two somethings exploded in the air. The dragon pulled back and screeched in pain, its face smoking from where Flair's grenades had slammed into him. It didn't seem to do any permanent damage, but it must have hurt.
Avarice, kill the Pegasus quickly.
The great beast flapped its wings and with a grunt took off after Flair, who smartly zipped away.
Hayes, protect Flair, or try to.
Hayes looked at me for a second, I had forgotten that Hayes's wing was injured, and the Alicorn winced as she unfurled her wings. But, while it obviously pained her, she flew off in pursuit of the duo all the same.
Serenity, stay back. Work on the saddle.
Okay, Mama.
She grabbed the saddle with her magic and started to drag it across the ground.
Just you and me, Dragon Slayer, I said, starting to circle around him, careful to avoid the parts of the ground still wreathed in flames.
Sure you don't want to call your dragon? You can't fight me.
He was going to try, at the very least. He chucked his daggers at me. I batted them away with my cybernetic leg.
You're seriously calling me a coward?
Dragon Slayer ducked under one of my kicks.
Do you think I care?
He backed off as I swung my cybernetic leg sideways at him, but not far enough as my sword came shooting out of it, scraping across his cheek.
Yes?
The idiot chucked another knife at me, though I'm not sure where he pulled that one from.
You're arrogant. You want to kill me, one-on-one, or I'd already be dead.
I batted the dagger away again, only to realize I was looking straight down the barrel of a pistol.
How many weapons did he have on him?
He fired rapidly 3 times. I sidestepped to the right as fast as I could, but at least one of the bullets scraped against my leg. I grunted in pain as I tried to get out of his line of fire.
You're dead already.
More bullets. He kept shooting until the gun clicked, but he was aiming wildly and most missed. Most.
Even if you kill me, the Watchers won't let you live.
I gritted my teeth through the pain as I quickly turned and bucked. My shotgun hind leg exploded the pistol into shrapnel, and it was so very satisfying.
Fuck the Watchers! You don't fuck the Watchers!
I heard a snap and looked down just in time to see one of the knives Dragon Slayer had thrown earlier come whizzing back through my cybernetic leg, cutting an important-looking wire. Before I could manage to stabilize myself after the buck, I fell flat on my face.
The Watchers fuck you!
I rolled quickly away when I saw yet another blade flying through the air, just narrowly avoiding a dagger in the back of my neck.
You said they wanted to save the wasteland.
Dragon Slayer was on top of me, rearing up to try and stamp in my face as I laid on my back.
Give everyone water, energy, remember? We will.
For all his bluster, in the end, Dragon Slayer was a skinny stallion, and it was easy enough to bring up my still-working leg to block his attempts to stomp me. Even if he had succeeded, I don't think it would have hurt very much.
You think you're doing good by getting in the way? You think you're some big hero, but you're not. You're just a stupid mayor harming the only opponents trying to protect the world. Maybe I'm stupid.
I grabbed his leg with my good leg and used my massive girth to easily flip our positions. Even if he had incapacitated my cyber leg, it was easy to stand over him.
But you can't take the high ground and kidnap little fillies at the same time.
We had rolled so far, we were right next to a part of the ground still on fire from the dragon earlier. Flames licked near us. I could feel myself start to sweat.
It was for the greater good.
Before I had a chance to shut his mouth for good, I felt a series of hot, sharp pains in my back. His horn was glowing, and I didn't even look behind me to know that my back was starting to look like a pincushion. It took all the willpower I had not to cry out in pain.
We'll save who we can, but those who get in our way need to be dealt with. What is a couple of deaths to an eternity of the wasteland?
There was a knife at my neck. It was cold and sharp and already starting to cut into me.
Everything.
I rammed my head down as hard as I could and headbutted the base of his horn. He cried out in pain, and I did the same as the knife he was holding cut into my neck. It was just one cut, though, and it wasn't too deep, hopefully.
I wonder, I said, my voice harsh and raspy, how many ponies use that same logic to sleep at night? You don't understand.
Blood from my neck dripped onto him as I gave him one last chance to explain. Between the fire close to us and the neck wound, I was starting to feel a bit dizzy.
The wasteland can't be saved by heroes, only ponies like me. But not you. Not anymore.
I reared up. Even with knives in my back, a profoundly bleeding neck, and a single working foreleg, it would be more than enough to squash his tiny head like a grape. I didn't see the dragon fly low, and I didn't see its tail slam into me. I did see the flames as I soared over them, though. I felt the pain as it shook my body, and I felt the warm blood coming from my neck as I fumbled with my good leg to put pressure on the wound. Maybe that headbutt was a bad idea.
As I laid there, I realized I missed too much during my fight with Dragon Slayer. Flair was on the ground, his armor visibly smoking, and Platinum Haze was there with him, trying to help him up. The massive building I had landed on before was completely engulfed in flames, and was half ruined from the dragons and Flair's fight that I hadn't been paying attention to. Serenity was nowhere to be seen. I tried to call out to her, but no words came out. The ground shook. The dragon landed in the flames it had created, seemingly unconcerned with the heat and the pain. It was so massive, so huge. Looking up from the ground, I felt so terribly small, and so afraid. How could we fight this thing? Everything we had done by that point to the dragon amounted to nothing more than scratches and mild annoyances. Between the dragon's massive legs, past the flames, I could see Dragon Slayer struggling to his hooves. So, this is how we lost? It wasn't what I expected, to be honest. We did good, though. We fought as hard as we could, against all odds, but how do you kill a dragon that's stupidly loyal to a manipulative bastard? Those odds, you can't beat those odds, no matter how hard you tried. The dragon lowered its head towards me, glaring at me with chilling reptilian eyes.
This way! A shrill voice called out. Look this way!
The dragon turned his head towards the sound, looking confused and annoyed that something distracted it from its supper. Serenity was standing there, beside Dragon Slayer. He must not have heard her approach, because she wouldn't have let him. In the distance, I heard him say,
What the?
As he turned his head towards the little filly, suddenly yelling beside him. A little filly, holding a pistol. Two shots to the head. The purple stallion's head jolted back. A spray of crimson mist flew out behind him as he collapsed as a purple corpse. Serenity stood there, grim determination in her eyes as she stared at the body in front of her. Now, I didn't like the look in her eyes, but it was hard not to be proud of her. In her pink magic was a zebra gun, and it seemed funny to me when I remembered where she got it from. The dragon's eyes went wide in shock.
Papa!
It yelled as it rushed towards the corpse. Serenity jumped back, but it wasn't necessary. As the dragon rushed towards the corpse, it began to shrink. I don't know how else to describe it, but when it stood before me, it was a massive, over 6-story tall monstrosity, but by the time it was cradling Dragon Slayer in its arms, it was less than a meter tall, only frightening if you were a bloat sprite or rad roach. And it was crying. In between blubbering tears, I could hear it repeat the word Papa over and over again. I rolled onto my back and closed my eyes, content to take in the moment. The world smelled of sweat, smoke, and blood, and all I could hear was crying and the crackling of flames. But it was over. Somehow, in some way, for a reason I couldn't even begin to describe, I smiled.
Level up. New quest perk, Death from Above. You take half damage when falling from heights that would kill another pony.